And a reminder, if we can have everybody mute themselves so we don't hear your puppies in the background like mine. I can't do that, unfortunately, but if we can mute. If you have other questions, Jody, how do you want to handle that? Do you want that to go on a question board?
Do you guys want to just send it in the chat and then I can help Sarah get through them?
Yeah.
So if you have a question, send it in the chat.
Okay.
And then we'll go from there.
So we're super excited that we're finally getting to come back. And I know it's not always exactly the way everybody wanted to do it, but when we started the Zooming, Eric and Elizabeth both came to me emphatically and said, we really want to come back in person. And because of the age and because of our licensing, we are able to do that in the way that we're going to do it. And part of us waiting had to do with the mandate and then also wanting to ensure that obviously all our families are taken care of and all my staff are taken care of and we're all healthy so we don't start up and have to close down. And I know that Zooming for primary children is really hard. I understand that. It's hard for everybody. It's hard for adults. But for primary children, it's really not something that is sustainable for months and months and months, if you're a three-year-old especially. So I wanted to just talk, I'm going to go through a couple of the things that of how we're looking about reopening, and it's not reopening, but re-entering back onto our campus, and some of the safety protocols, some of the things that we spoke about as a team with the primary of how things would look, then specific questions you can ask, and then we can also let Eric and Elizabeth answer them. And everybody knows, right, on the Zoom session that Eric and Elizabeth, they're sitting together, that they actually are cohabitate. I just want to be sure everyone knows that. So actually their communication is really great. So most of the time you can ask them and one of them can answer the question. Since you know we've gone down in our classroom size, our classrooms right now are at, what is it, Roxy? 13? Is it 13 and 11?
Yeah. Eric will start with 13 and Elizabeth will start with 11.
Okay. And normally in normal time, so this gives you kind of an insight into where we are as a school. Normally we'd have 30 in each room or at least 25, 28 in each room. So having said that, the plan is, that's why we decided because of our small population right now, is to come back full-time in person for children on the primary side. We're also going to be doing that in the elementary side as well, but we're going to stagger it and it's going to be a little bit later so that we get all our systems going and figure everything out. And also because I want the admin to be the main people who are greeting, taking care of things, et cetera, so that the teachers for an undetermined time right now, but at least probably till October, are isolated in their rooms with your children and not greeting all the different families at the drive. So for families that used to come to Cedars, you're going to be seeing myself, Kelly, Roxy, Jean, or Jody. That's our admin group who would be getting your children out of the car and putting your children back into the car every day until we decide to change that, okay? So what we really want to try and do, though, on the flip side, is that everything is as normal as possible. So children will arrive. The children Eric always had in Foxtail, his children would go to the playground first. Elizabeth's children will end up going into her classroom first, okay? We're not going to have commingling of groups on the playground. So that's one change for sure. But so in the morning, children who go to Foxtail will go out to the playground. Elizabeth will go out a little bit later. Okay. And then for dismissal, when you pick up, so pick up for morning children would be 12 and pick up for afternoon children would be 2:30. For afternoon, what we're going to do is we're not going to be dismissing from the playground the way we used to, not at this point. What we're going to do is Eric's, because there are going to be so few children in the afternoon, we can manage this really well. Eric's children will be sitting out on the porch where Elizabeth has moved into the bigger classroom down below at the drive. That is now Rabbit Run. And Elizabeth's children will be sitting inside of her classroom and waiting, and that's how we'll dismiss everybody. And on that note, I want to ask everybody to recognize that the first week, we're going to have a lot of grace and patience for each other. We'll be doing temperature checks every time your child comes through. I'm going to ask you to please always have your mask on in the car when you come through. If you don't want to have it on when you're driving, that's totally fine. But I need you to have it on when you come through and you're greeting, we're greeting you, etc., with your child. Your child will not be getting out of the car until we've done the temperature check. And the temperature check and all of that takes maybe less than a minute, depending on if we're having a hard time getting out of the car. But they'll do the temperature check, they'll get out, and then there's going to be a little station where they're going to sanitize their hands with hand sanitizer. And then they're going to walk into their classroom and start their day. So that's a little bit about arrival and pickup. The only caveat is for pickup is families who have children who are also in the elementary and have siblings. We will hold your children until 3:15. And what I want to ask, though, from everybody is to really at this point be very diligent about being on time, because we have to get to, I've got to get to elementary to get families, kids into the car as well. On the elementary side, it's only going to be admin doing also arrival and pickup. So we're kind of being pulled in a lot of different areas, unlike what we used to be. And dismissals, all those things are going to be different with making sure kids are distanced, et cetera. So I really need people to make sure and pick up on time and then go through the elementary drive. But also for primary children that we pick up on time. I know that sometimes in the spring it gets a little bit harder and people let the kids are having a great time playing. And until further notice, we just won't have any families be able to come out and walk up the pathway and walk into the classrooms. And I'm really sorry for that, but that I feel is something that we need to do for the first couple of weeks at least to get into a rhythm and ensure the health and safety of everyone. And on that note, I would also say is that Eric and Elizabeth have decided to give you a visual or virtual tour of their classrooms, since you normally get to walk in and see the classrooms. So that will be forthcoming as well. So you can kind of see the way the room is going to be laid out, what's going to be happening. And during this time, we're going to put all our efforts into being sure to communicate as much as we can with you about what's going on, to be sending pictures, to be sending information about the classrooms so that you have a glimpse into their daily life. One of the things too, so when we're talking about like dismissal, lining up, sitting down, getting ready for hand washing, both classrooms have systems already. So that's what we've really been working on since we're kind of pivoting again. We're working on systems that are already children. There are, some of them have, there's puppy, what would you call it? Puppy decals in Eric's room and X's for where you sit, where you around the carpet. Elizabeth has the same. She doesn't have puppy, but she has X's. She has different things so that we really work with the children on their systems and the expectations. And I think I'm actually not so worried about that with the kids. I know that children always or want to perform and work hard and do that. So that, and with the small classes, this should be much more, I mean, I think it should be very successful pretty quickly. I've had the chance to talk to a couple of other schools that have had primary programs already going, and it's worked really, really well. First week might be a little bit of a, just because of anxiety, everybody, all of those things. So we're going to be sure to communicate. If you have questions, what I would say to you too in the drive, let Kelly, myself, any of us know, Roxy, and we will pass that on to the lead guides or the assistants if it's something they can answer. Or if it's something you need to talk with us about, I'm going to ask you to say, hey, can you give me a call after arrival? I have a question or I have a concern. So that the line doesn't get, it doesn't get boggled. So that's kind of the way we're gonna do when they're around circle time, also when they're lining up for different various ways. One of the other thoughts was, in order to keep it as normal as possible, we want our children to be able to have a snack area, which is a little different than it used to be, but a snack area where children are socially distanced, but they can still socialize and communicate in a mask-free zone and take their masks off, obviously, to eat. That will be outside. And then for lunch, there will be designated tables that they will have chosen based on which children should be together or not. And they are also, like Eric, we happened to meet yesterday in Eric's room, so I can speak specifically to that. He has tables that are together like we normally would, but there's only one chair at the table. Okay. So that's that. Those are kind of some of the systems for the little people that we're working on. Bathroom is the same thing. We're not going to have a line of children standing at the bathroom. They're going to be dismissed, go wash their hands. We're going to have a timer in the bathroom. We're trying to figure out right now if we're going to use one that flips over, what we're going to use, but some kind of timer to really work with them on hand washing and washing for 20 seconds. And I know that might be a little bit harder for primary children, but if we get a song going or something else, it's instinctual. And if you do that at home, I think that would be even better. If you do it and get into a routine with it, with the hand washing of 20 seconds, then when they're with us, so it transfers back and forth from home to school. Let me look on my thing. Okay, so one of the other things is for your children, for primary children, I have extra masks at the school, but we know that some kids like to chew on their masks. Some kids might have a cold. Some kids might have, there's all kinds of things that could be going on. Please, if you feel that way, let's go ahead and send an extra mask for them with their clothes. You can send that with their extra clothes that you're sending. We're not going to commingle anymore any of the clothes that we used to. If a child had already needed new clothes and they've already changed once a day, and then we have to go find another pair for some kids, we're trying really not to do that. So if we find that your child is going through clothes many times, then we're going to ask you probably to bring 3 or 4 pairs of clothes and an extra mask. I know that some little people are much more, the masks don't feel as great sometimes. And I understand that there will be times, and I think we have to all understand as a group, as a community, there are going to be times when children take their masks off. It's going to happen. It's a reality of the way we're going to, this is the reality of the age, but also even older, even adults, we take them off. We're hot and tired and all of those things. We're going to continually encourage them to put them back on or take a break in the mask-free zone. But we are really expecting that the children are going to be wearing masks full-time at the school right now. And when October comes, I don't know. It's all going to depend on health and the guidelines given to us by different kinds of mandates. Let me think what else. I wanted to also...
Hey, Sarah.
Yes.
Before you go ahead, can we do a couple questions just because they're related, pertinent to what you were just talking about?
Sure.
Okay, one is, what about masks with characters? If that was allowed, just since they're, more excited about wearing them.
Okay. Are these media characters, or are these characters like cats, dogs, toucans, which I've seen a bunch of kids have?
Well, like Owen is excited about the Paw Patrol ones that I had gotten him. So when I go to the store, but I didn't even think about the fact that they can't have characters.
Yep, they can have characters. I want to keep to that just as that's what we've always done, but they can have animals on them, just natural animal, animals. They can have, I saw a little boy yesterday because we did an elementary, the 6-year-olds came for visits. They had toucans, cats, dogs, horses. I'm totally fine with all that. And I did want to say, I was going to send out another separate email too about, I know that we all have, everybody's got so many different kinds of masks. And it's become like a real entity now for people to buy. but I also have a couple of suggestions from a couple of different people of masks that are really comfortable for little people that they tend to keep on a little bit more. So I will send that out too. But do know that if your child soils their mask, you know, or if they have an issue or if they've eaten and then they put it on and they get stuff all over it, I do have extra masks. I'm just saying if you want to send an extra one as well with their clothes, you're welcome to if they're really particular about what they want to wear. Otherwise, the ones that I have, just so everyone knows, are just the medical grade ones. And they're the little yellow ones that little children wear for their little faces.
Okay, and then can you clarify what full time means, whether that's all day, 5 days a week? Is everyone going back?
It's all day, 5 days a week, but for children who are not 4 and a half yet, or we haven't made a decision about that yet, those children leave at noon, and other children stay till 2:30. So both sides of the campus will be full day. The part that I'm not able to do right now, and I know that this crimps some people's style, and I totally understand, I only have 2 to 4 families who really need aftercare, and I can't afford it. I have to be really frank with everybody. I'm losing about $90,000 a month. So in order for us to really get going, I need to hold off on aftercare until I have the ability to pay people. I mean, I've had to let teachers now go. So it's just the reality of our pandemic. What I am able to do right now, and we're committed to this right now because our numbers are so low, is children who stay normally through the afternoon or 2 to 3 when they would have aftercare. Those are only 3 children. I am going to have one of our assistants, who, because those classes are so small, or one of us as admin will be helping take care of those kids. Okay. And then, like I said before, children who have siblings in elementary, they'll be held till 3:15.
A couple of the questions actually were related to people with siblings or elementary and primary children. Will they be mingling together?
No.
While they're waiting?
Okay. No. There will be no mingling. Everyone's going to be very separated. Actually today I just went over things with the elementary about the playground's going to be separated and those kind of things. The primary on the playground and all of those things, they're not going to be separated. That's actually not part of the mandate. It's not part of what licensing has recommended. Your class will stay with your class, but they won't have to be separated all from their particular group in their class. But they will, like I said before, Foxtail and Rabbit Run will not be commingling together at this time. Next question? No? I can't hear you, Joe.
There's one that says, when will aftercare be available for the kids ending at noon? So that's just to clarify. So we are doing aftercare from noon to 3.
Yes.
Aftercare from
3 to 5:30. Not at this point.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm hoping, this is my hope, is that once we get going, I'm not going to actually take in any more new children until at least October. So even families who wanted to come back, I want to give us 2.5 weeks of going through all of this. They can then re-enroll for October. And then if the demand is higher, I'm going to be able to do that.
Okay, and then did you say that there will be no social distancing for kids that are within the same class and the classmates will be allowed to co-mingle as usual?
Okay, so what a lot of, and I have a doctor I'm working with and a couple of other people, for primary children for 3 to 5 years of age, they are not feeling that they all have to be separated all the time. We are working to keep them as separate as possible, as distanced as possible. But the reality is that little people are going to have a very hard time with it. They also, we know about the infection rates. We know about all of those different things. So I'm following what other schools have already been doing, where there have been no cases. And our class sizes are so small. It's very hard to make a 3 and a 5-year-old stay 6 feet apart all the time. They're going to, at some point, be touching each other. That's the reason we're keeping our masks on. That's the reason we're going to be super vigilant about washing our hands and the sanitizing of the room, which I can speak about in just a minute. So we are going to be using something called Forces of Nature, which I'm going to send out with the masks and a couple of other things of suggestions. But Forces of Nature is a particular solution that is being used across the nation and actually across the world for Montessori schools specifically, because it kills SARS and it can kill COVID, but it does not ruin high tech. It does not ruin the materials, which has been my concern, because if I spray a bunch of really bad stuff, first of all, it's not just us, but also it's going to ruin all the beautiful materials, because the Montessori room is made with beautiful wood materials and glass and all of those things. So Forces of Nature is being used around Austin by all the other Montessori schools. And like I said, a nationwide, we've already got ours. We're going to be creating bottles. The idea with Forces of Nature is they have a pod and you make the solution and you have to use it within 2 weeks. So at noon dismissal, we will be cleaning the room. And then at the end of the day, it will be cleaned again. And then there will be a cleaner that comes in to clean again. Okay. So that's how we're going to work with the cleaning. As we know now, the idea that like in June or May that we would take every item off the shelf that a child had touched and put it away, we know now that that's not necessary. And there's a lot of theory, but there's also a lot of scientific data about that. So what we're planning on doing is, now if somebody sees a child who's, you know, pulled their mask down and gotten all funky with their material, we're going to take that out and clean it before we bring it back in. But generally what we really want to do, because we're going to be the same pod of kids or cohort of families, right? We're a community. And if we all work together as a team, I think that this will really work successfully. And, I don't want to limit the children. But I was okay with doing it in June, but now I don't feel we need to, of taking materials off every time they've used them and no one gets to touch them maybe for 2 hours. Especially at the beginning of the year, it's really imperative that the children have access to everything that they want to be able to do that's available for them. Any other questions, Jode? No? Okay.
Not right now. Not yet.
Okay. I do want to really encourage families to, because we're going to be really using the outdoor space. That's the beauty of Cedars. So we have a particular ventilation system that we're working on right now. We're going to have cross ventilation. I've had an engineer come and give me specifics of the best way to filtrate air in the room, the type of filters we're going to use. They're going to be fans. They're going to be windows open at opposite ends of the room, but across ventilation, as well as doors opened, et cetera. Children will be working outside. There will be spaces outside, which we've always had, but we're going to really incorporate that a little bit more. Using walks, all the different things, using our space to be able to actually work. So that's what we're looking at for ventilation systems. And ensuring that there's fresh air coming into the room for the safety of all the children. So on that note, I did want to mention that, you know, we have on the primary side, families have to sign the agreement that we can't or understand that we cannot put sunscreen on your child and we can't put bug repellent on your child. So if you feel, and I will say after this big rain, there's going to be mosquitoes, right? So I would definitely pull over if you need to, if you feel that's what you need to do, or help your child pick clothes that are appropriate for what we're doing. If we're going to be outside, I'm hoping right now that it's going to get hot. But just be mindful of that when you help your child choose the type of clothes that they're going to be wearing. to come to school, that it is easily accessible, it's ventilated, it's not some big heavy, I was thinking about some kids who were wearing tutus before and all kinds of stuff and really hot looking, or children that came with big sweatshirts. Now, if your child wants to wear a sweatshirt, that's totally fine. That's the logical, that's in there. If there's a logical consequence, if they get really hot, we take it off, help them and talk with them about it. But I would say that that's something you should think about too. So especially I would say the bug part right now until we get, until the mosquito season kind of dies down. Anything else on that? No? Okay. So let me talk a little bit.
There was one. Okay. Oh, if they're able to put those on themselves, can we send those in their bag?
What, bug spray?
Bug spray and sunscreen?
They're not allowed to apply it to themselves, unfortunately, on the primary side. That's a licensing thing.
Okay.
So, and that might change in time. I don't know, but that's been a licensing factor for years. So, and then I wanted to kind of address also, so based on how many families have said they will come back in person versus how many families are not comfortable, which I completely understand. I think we all recognize that we're all at different spectrums of being comfortable. And I do want to say that as a staff, we're ready and feel very comfortable to come back. I don't think we would have said that in June or July, but this was not an administrative decision. This was a collaborative conversation of really wanting to come back and be with the children and do it in a safe and effective way. So for families that still don't want to come back in person, but want some kind of connection or want distance learning, I've always said we would slowly have an interim and slowly move out of that space at some point. And let me tell you why we're gonna have to move out of that at some point. It's because the teachers, once they're actually teaching full-time in the room with children, they don't have the time to put in to all of those other elements of creating the online version, which ironically actually in some ways has been more exhausting than anything we've ever done. So we are going to be phasing out by the beginning of October. So there'll be 2.5 weeks for families who still want to do and don't want to come in person. And I'm going to let Eric and Elizabeth share a little bit more about exactly what that's going to look like. I'm going to give you a quick overview, and if there's any questions, you can ask if you're interested still in the online. So what we're thinking is there would be 2 to 3 gatherings a week that would be recorded. There would be, might be a read aloud. There might be a community group meeting. It will be, and we're going to pick 2 to 3 because you never know what might happen in a meeting with little people. And you don't always want to record everything that you do with your children. Then we would have Elizabeth and Eric would do 30-minute Zoom check-ins on Friday with families about what's going on. And then we would still provide packets like we've been doing, that they might not be as extensive because you're not going to be doing 1-on-1 or 1-to-4 or 1-to-2 Zoom session lessons anymore. But we will provide packets and those will be available for families as well. So when your child, and if you feel comfortable coming back in October, and I hope you do, and I would really stress and say to everyone that we're gonna really try our best to give you a snapshot of what it looks like when children are already back with us, so you can feel and hear it and see it. And that's gonna probably be recordings that we will record and be able to send to families so that you guys can see what's really happening since you're not able to come and observe and watch and those things. Are there any questions about the online learning?
There are none in the chat, but I suppose if anyone has any, now's the time to speak up.
Yeah, actually, out of curiosity, the numbers that you had presented earlier as far as the 13 and 11 in the classroom, is that also reflective of the families that are doing online, or is that separate?
That's separate. Okay. So there are about 7 families, I believe, that are not comfortable right now coming back in person. There are a couple of families that have said, we just want to wait till the beginning of October and let you start. Our goal is to, you know, I can't, my classes can't go as big as they used to. So it'll be 20. That will be the cutoff no matter what. So what we're doing right now is kind of backtracking and finding families that were still, were wanted to come once we came back in person, but saying that we would, they wouldn't be able to come until October. And once I start to add more children to the room, there might be also a different dynamic shift, and we'll figure that out. And we will definitely communicate all of that with everyone. If there's a big system change or something that way we can't do it, I will definitely communicate that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. Anybody else?
Sarah, can I ask a question?
Oh, yes.
So with the kids, no, I have to formulate my question. With the kids who might be coming back, who used to be, and then you're saying there might be about 20 kids in the classroom, will they be split into cohorts of 10?
I don't have to do that with primary children.
Okay.
Now that's what the recommendation is right now as of today, and the people that I talk to and the licensing recommendations on top of Austin Public Health mandates that 3 to 5, that you don't have to split them. Older kids, they would like, it's recommended, but they don't have to, okay? However, based on if there are any spikes or if there are things that end up happening, you know, we might always have to readjust and see what's going on. I think that one of the key parts of this is, and this is what yesterday when I was talking to the doctor who's consulting with me, is there are going to be, we're coming back to school and there's going to be flu season, there's going to be colds, there's going to be all these different things. I promise that every time a child is sent home, if they are sick, you will all as groups be told a child came sick. Now, what I'm going to leave up to the family and to a doctor is to disseminate or decide whether or not they have to be tested for COVID, because just because their children get viruses all the time, right? And that's why in the agreement too, in the community agreement, it is also states that in order to come back, even if you've been sick just with a cold, I need a doctor's reference or a doctor's letter. And it can be off of a portal that says your child can go back to school. It can be an email. It doesn't have to be some big to do, but for right now, until everyone feels really comfortable, I'm going to have to request that. And most other schools are doing that as well. But I think that I think that as a group and as a community, you guys have all stuck with us. I think we all want to come back, right? And we want to do it in the best way possible. So I think if we all take care of ourselves and our families and agree to the things that we're talking about and ensure that your child isn't, you know, because there have been times in the past where parents send their kids and they know they're sick and they give them Tylenol or something. And, you know, we figure it out a little bit later and the child says, oh, I threw up last night. You know, those kind of things, we really have to, as a community, be respectful of each other so that we don't get shut down. So a couple of families have asked, how does that work if someone is sick? So what happens is I will let everybody know if a child has gone home sick. Then I'm going to wait to see if they're going to have to be tested or what their doctor says. Okay. Then I have to call Austin Public Health and they are going to determine whether I have to close the room down based on if the child had COVID or not. That's how we'll continue on. If we shut down for 2 weeks, we will start with online learning again for that classroom. I don't have to shut the whole school down. That's the beauty of this, because we're not all stuck together. And I feel pretty good about the space and all of those things. And there is a document that Jody added to everything. It's the guidance for childcare programs. And it really goes through, if you have it, this is how you come back, all of those various things. So if you ever have any questions, I would really say, look at that. It's sometimes a little confusing, but the flow chart actually is much more succinct in certain ways. So if you have questions, because that seems to always come up, there was already times where people are saying, why are you only quarantining for 10 days, not 14? And that also comes doctor's advice. So like when my daughter had COVID, she had to quarantine for 10 days because she'd already shown symptoms 4 to 5 days before. I had no symptoms. I only had to quarantine for 10 days. So, and we're finding more and more that that might not always be the case unless you have COVID. So, but I am going to ask everybody to be really vigilant at the beginning until everyone feels really comfortable and to trust one another. We're all in it together. Any other questions?
Yeah, there's a couple questions. Okay. Will you send home a sibling if one child is sick?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. I didn't know that.
And I'm not, tell you have to get a test. I'm going to ask you to ask your doctor, and then you, in order to come back, I'm going to need that note.
Okay. And if a room does have to get shut down, what's the plan for the 2 weeks in between? You know, you're not going to offer virtual learning unless the room has to be closed for 2 weeks or more.
Well, what I'm going to say is, so this is kind of what the documents look like and the way it's being referred is, if your room is shut down, you've got anywhere between 2 to 5 days where they might shut the room down completely, depending on how many children, what the track, you know, the contact tracing is, et cetera. But what we would do, so this is kind of what we talked about as a group. If the room shuts down on Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm going to say on Monday, we're going to be doing online learning again. Okay. So we get back into the groove of, we have the rhythm now, we know how to do it. So I don't feel that it's going to be a huge shift. It's an unfortunate shift, but it's a reality of our times.
Is that Gus?
That's Gus. Yes. My new puppy, everyone. He's only 9 weeks old. So he's screaming in the front room. Sorry.
That's fine.
I put puppy music on for him, but it's not working. It's not working. He's mad.
Okay, a couple more questions. Would you require a doctor note for both kids then if one was sent home and the sibling went home also?
I would require a recommendation from the doctor, yes. So the doctor can say, I don't feel this child needs to be tested. They're not exhibiting any symptoms at this point. I talked to a school, and I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with Athena. They have 140 primary children coming. And what they are also doing, and a couple of other schools that I have talked to, is that's for a doctor. I am not a medical professional, is to decide those kinds of things. My limitation is, you know, I can run the school and I can do it, but I am just not a medical professional. So I am going to ask for their advice as a child comes back into the school. I'm curious if there are any questions for Eric and Elizabeth specifically.
Not yet. It does say, if Austin returns to stage 4 or stage 5, will the school return to online?
Okay. If they do a stay at home order again, and, we will have that conversation as a group, but primary can actually be going to school. We can do it based on, particularly because it's called essential, and because of their age and the cases that haven't been found in children this age. So I want to, if we go to that, I want to really have a big conversation as a community of what feels good to people. I'm not going to right away say we're shutting down completely on primary. That's more for older kids. Once we get going, I'm hoping that we're going to get going and we're going to go through this, unless there's a huge health crisis that gets even worse in certain ways that affects our little people. I can hear my hound.
I put the flow chart that you were talking about in the chat notes for everybody to look at.
Elizabeth and Eric, where are you guys? Let me go through my, there they are.
We're here.
All right. Do you guys want to say anything or offer anything? Come on.
Yeah, we're we're very excited to be able to be back in the classroom, not because we're taking any of this lightly at all, but because this is it's our work and it's our passion and it's what we love to do, and it's hard to do it online, and we know that it's hard for you too, and we appreciate everything that you've been doing to make online learning a success. So thank you very much for that. We are creating lots of systems in our classrooms that individualize all the materials that we can. We're limiting high touch points by just eliminating them and making sure every child has one of whatever that is. We have lines on the floors, we have stickers where they'll sit, we're encouraging space. And we also know that we work with young kids and they want to watch each other and observe each other's work, and they might need a hug from us or fall or cry or be hurt and need comfort. And we are there for that too. And we are planning on creating a video of each of our classrooms that will be a virtual tour. So not only will it show the four areas of the classroom, the practical life, sensorial, language, and math, but we're also going to use that as an opportunity to showcase a lot of the systems that we have in place, because we've been working so hard on them, and we want to show you what it's going to look like. We both have Instagram accounts for our classrooms that are private for families only. So I would encourage you to give us a follow. We always take lots of pictures throughout the year, and I think now more than ever it's going to be a wonderful tool to show you what it looks like, and for families who aren't as comfortable yet, to see what it looks like day to day. That's always our goal with those accounts, is to give you a window into their lives, and especially during this time. And I think we recognize that many families are giving things up to be able to come back to school. And my mom has autoimmune disease and is high risk. And so us going back into the classroom, we understand what it means to have to separate from grandparents or from people that you love to keep everyone safe. And despite that, we really want to be together with children who we really know want to be in the classroom too. So we're doing a lot, and hopefully this weekend we'll have those videos to show you so you can see some of what that looks like too, just visually.
Yeah. I mean, as I say, you know, we're excited, we're happy to come back to the classroom, you know. And we, like you say, you know, we recognize that children, you know, need that space. They need back that space. That's the way they learn. That's the way they socialize. I mean, it's all the elements of it. It's in the classroom. And we're so happy to come back, and we were ready and we're excited. And yeah, you know, like she said too, you know, I also want to thank all the parents that were doing, helping through these online lessons. You know, you guys have been doing such a great job over there with your children, sitting over there and be patient with them. And I really appreciate that. And I want to thank that too. So yeah, like she said, you know, we're ready, we're excited.
Well, I was just going to say too, Eric and Elizabeth, that, and to families, something I didn't say before was that, you know, when we're talking about systems too, so as all of you know, there's a lot of pencils and a lot of areas where children go to get colored pencils, all of those different things, scissors. So we have bought boxes for each child that will be their own. So those are, you know, so it's not commingling of all the different things. So when children chew on pencils, which they do, you know, mouth things, those are their own. And we have all those already set up so that each child has those elements for work in their little box. And something else I just thought of too is that Elizabeth and Eric and I have talked about, and this is kind of across the board in Montessori, is that for specific lessons, for sound lessons, My teachers take their mask off because the children cannot see how they're, and they're going to be socially distanced. But I do want you to know, so you don't become worried about that. If your child comes home and says, "Oh, Miss Elizabeth took her mask off while she was doing a lesson with me," so I'm giving that grace for my staff across the board on the whole school for specific lessons that they are. Some teachers will wear a shield. Some are not going to wear anything and be distanced away so that they can give those kinds of lessons and that it's more meaningful for the child. Are there any other questions right now? Okay, so going into next week, after Labor Day, I wanted to let everybody know, so we have our orientation visits. There's 3 days of orientation visits. We're not going to be doing Zooming or anything else at that time. This is going to be a time where all the staff, just like at normal times at the beginning of the year, we're getting ready for your children to show up and come. We've got a lot of things to work on. And then children who are doing online afterwards, that will come about again the following week. So we really look forward to having everybody come next week. And like I said before, if you are new to Cedars, one of the things that we're thinking of doing, and there's only a few families right now that are really new to Cedars, is from the classroom that you're in, either the lead guide or the assistant will be at the drive as well with their mask down behind me or behind Roxy or Kelly to help your child get out of the car since they really haven't seen us in the same way. And if you have any concerns about drop-off, I really would welcome that you go ahead and give us a call or shoot me an email and just say, I'm worried about it. I don't know if my child will get out, and we can figure that out. So normally in a normal school year, when a child doesn't get out, depending on their age, sometimes we'll ask a parent, "Are you okay with me taking them out?" And then we will, and I still feel comfortable doing that. If you don't feel comfortable with that, or we're having a really hard time with your kiddo getting out, I'm gonna ask you to just pull up and pull back around so it flows. I'm not gonna do a staggered start this year because we have so few children right now. So I'm anticipating 24 families coming through the drive. And just remember, you got to stay in your car and come through the drive to drop your child off at this point.
Did you say there was no online classes next week?
Yes.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Yes, sir. I've got a question. So I looked at the schedule for Owen coming back. So next week, because there's no elementary going on, he will just be for that first, like on Friday, he's just going to show up for 1 day next week for 2 hours is what the schedule is, right?
Yes.
And then the following week with the elementary, is that when he'll start staying?
His full day. Yes. So he'll start staying Monday, Tuesday. So not this next week, but the following week, the 14th. They come all day long if they're all day or all. Yes.
Okay. Yep. I'm just trying to make sure I understood.
And I was just thinking too that actually we can have packets for you for next week. It's just that we're not going to have the online Zooming or any of that going on right now, so Elizabeth and Eric and Shauna and Heather can get everything ready, so we're prepared. Which a lot of time when we come back in person, no matter, we've never had to do it like this, but there's a lot to get ready and a lot to prep for. And this adds a little bit of a different element of preparation of the systems. So that's why I don't want them to be bogged down. But we will have packets for you for next week, too, for families that want to pick up. Anybody else or any other questions, comments, concerns?
I just have a suggestion that you might start. If your child hasn't been wearing a mask at all and you're coming back in person, you might just start practicing for 15 minutes a day, you know, in the morning, maybe 15 in the afternoon, and just each day increase the time a little bit so that the first time that they walk in the door, it's not also the first time that they've had a mask on for an extended period, because it's an adjustment for all of us. So you might just, and like Sarah said about practicing the hand washing too, as much of that that you can sort of start at home already, then it will just be bridged when they come to school instead of being something completely new for them.
And I would also say that I know that some families who haven't been at Cedars, but also families that have been at Cedars and their children are feeling leery about coming back, but they're excited. You know, there's all kinds of different emotions going on. If you want to come on the campus in the evening or when we're off campus, or come even, you know, and if you just let the admin office know you're coming, I really would welcome you to come and walk around, let your child look around before, if that's an issue that you feel is important. I have a couple of families who their children, they really wanted to come, so they came the other day. That's totally fine. I want you to feel like you're welcome at the school, and it'd be your time, you know, if you want to walk even up and see Ernie, you want to walk on the other side of the campus, it's a time for them to kind of reinitiate and come back to the school. Anybody else? Hey, Aisha.
So, Sarah, are they all going to come back? So I know next week is orientation, but then are they starting the 14th? And is everybody coming back?
All on the 14th? All will come back.
On Monday. Okay.
Yeah. Just like normal. And you know, there are going to only be 13 and 11. So it's a very small group. So it should be very manageable. I think it actually, it's a great way for us to come back. We can figure things out that might not be working or working really well and make those observations like we normally do. And we give it some time before we would add any other children back to the room. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I'm just gonna, we'll end now. And I'm just gonna say, I really appreciate your commitment and your support and coming back. It has been a very hard road that we're all living in this time, and we're going up and down in many different ways. And I recognize that sending children to Cedars, you are trusting us with your people, and I really appreciate that. And I do not take that lightly at all. I don't think any of our staff does as well. When Elizabeth was saying their job is meant to be with the children, that's the way it's across the board from every single staff member, especially the lead guides. I want to get back and being with the children. That's the essence of Montessori, and it's so different than public school or any other method. So working with materials and all of the different things that we do, it's just not attainable in that way. But I also think it's a perfect time for us to come back. The cases have gone down. I feel like we know so much more about what is actually, how things are spread. The fear, and I know there is fear. I'm not negating people's fear. I'm just saying it varies. And like I said before, we're all on a different spectrum of that. But those of us that are committing to come back, I really welcome you. And I welcome all the families when they're ready to come back as well. And any questions, anytime you have a question or you hear something or you feel unsure about something, please don't hesitate to reach out. And you can reach out directly to me, you can reach out to Roxy, but please don't hesitate at all. I don't want you to ever be pondering and thinking, okay, what's really happening? I heard such and such. Just give me a call or send me an email, and I'll give you a call right away back, okay? I understand as a parent too, I know my kids are much older, but this is a different time. And although you're trusting us, I also understand that there might be questions that arise as we go along. So just ask them. And if I don't have the answer for them, I will say to you very frankly, I don't have that answer at this moment, and let me get back to you in a little while. Anybody else? Okay, so Next week, we're going to see your people for orientation visits. It's going to be really great. Okay. And then the following week, and you might, I'm going to say this, there might be some funny antics at the drive because I got to make this a little bit fun with little people. So we might have funny hats and different things we're wearing just to get some kids a little bit laughing. I haven't figured that out yet, or outfits, but I have been thinking, have you guys all seen the, for the social distancing where you put a hat on with the noodles on each side? Okay. Well, I've been thinking about wearing that when I go out the first couple of times with kiddos, just to be a little bit more spontaneous. So don't be alarmed if we come out looking a little funny. So, like I said, if next week for orientation visits, your child is having a really hard time, give the office a call and we will be sure that we can try and accommodate or help you figure that out if your child's having a hard time getting out of the car. Those visits are going to be so small with such a small group that that's even easier for me or Roxy or Kelly to help your child maneuver and get out of the car and come on in with everybody else. And then, as we all know, there are going to be kids who just jump right out of the car and they run right up the pathway, who've already been there for a long time. So, but I do recognize that our children, because of COVID, haven't had the chance to be with a lot of other people anymore. And when I got kids out the last 3 days for elementary, they were so excited to be with other friends. And they all wore their masks. And I'm talking six-year-olds. They all had them on and they were just brimming, just excitement. And I'm assuming that most of these kiddos are going to be so happy to come back to. And they're going to be back with Elizabeth and Eric and Shauna and Heather, who's new to his classroom, but I will say most of them know her from already before, and it's a fabulous team of four people working with your children. So on that note, it's 5 o'clock, it's dinner for most people, and I appreciate you guys, and please reach out at any time.
Thank you, Sarah.
Absolutely, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.